Our scripture for study and reading today is James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. James chapter 4, let's begin reading in verse 13. James writes, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's good to work. It's right to provide for yourself and for your family. It's wise to make plans for the future. But don't leave God out of your thinking. And don't forget that your plans are subject to God's will." Now, this is what James teaches us in this passage. In verse 13, he looks at the big plans that people then, like people now, make. He says, "Go to now," and that simply means come now. What were these Christians thinking? Well, they were thinking about making money. They were thinking about business. They were thinking about making a living and doing it well. Notice their words in verse 13. "Today or tomorrow," they said. So they were eager to get started. They didn't want to wait on this project. Now, perhaps they saw an opportunity to make money and they decided to take it. And so they said, "We're going to get started today or tomorrow, not next week, not next month, or maybe just someday." So they were decisive. They were not lazy. And, of course, people can be very diligent when it comes to making money, and these people were. They said, "Today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city." Perhaps they had heard that there was a chance to make good money in a certain place. Or maybe they had just done their research and their homework, and they thought that the market was ready for whatever it was that they were selling. So they made plans about the place of business. They already know their target area. "We're going to go into this place." And notice that they said, "We will go." And therein was their mistake. He says that these people say that they're going to continue there, that is in that city, a year. They had thought it through, and they decided to do business in that city for a year. Not for 6 months, not for 5 years. Why did they decide 1 year? Well, they had their reasons. And maybe after 1 year, they thought it would be time to move on and go to other places. But they had decided, they had thought it through, and they had decided how much time to invest in this venture. And what were they going to do in that place? James says that they were going to buy and sell and get gain, that is, make a profit. "We'll be able to make some money," they thought. So they had it all thought out. As far as business was concerned, they had a good plan. They saw that there was a market for a certain product that they had. And they were confident that they could buy low and sell high. They had done all their homework, and they had determined the best place to do this kind of business. And they also had a timeline. This was going to be a one-year project. And you have to look at that and say, well, at least it was not a get-rich-quick scheme. They didn't plan to go to that city and make all this money in a day or even in a week. And notice that they didn't hesitate about what they were going to do. They decided to act quickly. "We're going to leave today or tomorrow." So once they were convinced that there was an opportunity, they decided to act quickly, and they decided to get started by leaving today or, at the latest, tomorrow. As far as business was concerned, their plan was thorough, and it had good prospects. But they left out the most important factor. And that is that James says in James 4, verse 14, to these very people, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. No man does. No man can know what is going to happen tomorrow. And God warns us not to get too confident in our plans about the future. Now, it's good and it's wise to make plans. It's good to make plans that include providing for yourself, providing for your loved ones, and working hard to that end. And there are many passages in the Bible that show that there's nothing wrong with working hard and making plans. In fact, this is a good and a wise thing to do. In Ecclesiastes 11, verse 6, the Bible says, "In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening withhold not your hand. For thou knowest not whether it shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." In Proverbs 20, verse 4, the Bible says, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore he shall beg in harvest and have nothing." Why? Because he was lazy and he did not look ahead. So yes, it is good to save for yourself and for your family. It is good to manage your money wisely. It is wise to look ahead. But don't forget that your plans may and often do change. You don't know what is going to happen. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, the Bible says this, "Boast not yourself of tomorrow, because you do not know what a day may bring forth." That was the very mistake of these people in James chapter 4. In Ecclesiastes 6, verse 12, Solomon said, "Who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun?" In Ecclesiastes 8, verse 7, he said, "For he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be?" People want to know the future. And that's why false prophets, fortune tellers, sorcerers, psychics, astrologers, and other people have always been in business. Because people are always willing to pay to try to find out what the future holds. But James asked this question, "What is your life?" And the answer is this, "It is even a vapor." Now, a vapor is not smoke. A vapor is not a cloud. A vapor is more like steam or mist that you only see for a moment. Think about steam rising off of a cup of coffee or something hot in the wintertime. You only see that steam for a moment. And the Bible says this is what your life is like. It is that short. James says your life is like a vapor that appears for a little time. How long do you have to live on this earth? The Bible plainly says a little time. And then your life will vanish away just like steam. In Job chapter 14, verse 1, here is how Job put this. "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." In Psalm 90, the Bible tells us in Psalm 90, verse 9, "All our days are passed away in the wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." In verse 10, the Bible says, "The days of our years are 70 years, that is 70. And if, by reason of strength, they be 80 years, that is 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." And so in verse 12 of Psalm 90, the Bible says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." The Bible says your life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. So don't get too confident about your plans. Don't brag and boast about what you're going to do tomorrow, James says, because you don't even know if you're going to live to see another day. In verse 15, he says, "For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." So this ought to bring our attitude and our talk into perspective. Instead of boasting and saying, "We will do this or we will do that," And that is exactly what these people were guilty of in verse 13. They were saying, we will go into such a city, and we will continue there a year, and we will buy and sell and get gain. James says, instead of talking about what you will do, you should say, if the Lord will. If it is the Lord's will, then we can live and do this or that. And that should be on our minds constantly. Every plan that we make ought to be tempered with that thought. So it is right to make plans and work, but let us never forget that we can't even live another second without God. Let us remember that our life is in the hand of Almighty God, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 1. And we need to remember not to try to take credit for making money and saving and investing and giving ourselves all the praise and all the credit. Because the Bible says that our hearts are not to be lifted up when we do have material things. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, the Bible says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." God gives us the ability that we have to acquire that wealth. And in verse 16 of James chapter 4, James shows that these people, these Christians, were being arrogant about this. He says in verse 16 that they were rejoicing in their boastings. They weren't simply confident about their business. They were cocky. They weren't just self-assured. They were arrogant. And they watched their budget, but they left God out. And the word boastings in the King James Version comes from a very interesting word. This is a Greek word which means an insolent and empty assurance, which trusts in its own power and resources and shamefully despises and violates divine laws and human rights. It is an impious and empty presumption which trusts in the stability of earthly things. It is a display in one's style of living. Now, this is the same word that you find translated in 1 John 2, verse 16, the pride of life. Remember that John said that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father? And James doesn't hesitate to call that kind of arrogance what it is. He says that it is evil. And sometimes even Christians are guilty of this. Why? Because sometimes we take things for granted. Sometimes we're not as thankful as we ought to be. And sometimes we become so independent and self-reliant that we forget that in Him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17, verse 28. So James tells us in verse 17 of James 4, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." The word therefore means that what he is saying is to be understood in light of what he just said, especially in verses 13 through 16. To him that knoweth to do good. He's obviously talking about Christians here. Christians who know. Christians who understand that life is short. That God, not man, is in control. And that we only do what God allows us to accomplish in this life. He says, to one that knows to do good and does not do it. Now, he's not talking about any one specific act of good. He's not talking about doing one specific good deed. But by doing good, he means living your life with the recognition that your plans are subject to God's will. And if you don't live like that, then he says that is sin. And I can't think of a better passage to end with than the story of the rich man in Luke chapter 12, who said in verse 19, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Luke 12, 19 through 21.